powerful worship. Let's celebrate the minister of the eternal. Come on, celebrate her. God is good. What a very powerful session. Amen. So tonight we go deeper. We go deeper. Tell your neighbor, say, God is up to something. Tell another person, say, God is up to something. The person I want to bring up does not have so much of introduction. Let me tell you why my heart yearns towards him a lot. And because I know him by the Spirit. One day in my place of work, in my place of worship one day, calm down. I was worshiping one day. This is my own personal encounter. You know, and God sent a word to me. And this is what God said to me. He showed me the face of the man I'm about to bring up. And said to me, this is the new face of fatherhood in Africa. I never discussed it with him. I said, God, this is very, it is strong. Then I went deeper, and this is my own personal encounter with God. Then God began to tell me a few things, and I said to myself, this is a man my heart will yearn towards, and it's a man that I must do all I can by grace to ensure that I'm positioned to receive from him. He's a man who genuinely loves people. That is why he's here. And most importantly, he loves the body of Christ. He loves the body of Christ. His passion for the body of Christ is amazing. It's amazing. So I will receive you tonight as an apostle. By God as a witness. We do not receive you as just anybody, but as a man God sent to this generation. Let me publicly say that I love you sincerely.
I love you.
And this generation is grateful to God for you. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for light. It's time for light. You'll be hearing sounds. Then you'll be finding your sound. Then in the midst of that, you will be standing your own sound. Then you will catch a light that will be a path for your generation. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to bring to the microphone the dispensation of God on the earth. If you love Jesus, if you love Jesus, clap your hands and celebrate the Lord as you receive the ministry.
It is by your wisdom that we have, all that we have. It is by your grace that we're able to do all that we do. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus that you will speak to us. You will shift our destinies to higher dimensions in the spirit. And we pray and cry and ask that in all of this you will take the glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Please give yourself a big God bless you. Hallelujah. Amen. In Matthew chapter 5, I'll begin my reading from verse 13. Jesus is speaking, he's teaching in what we call the Beatitudes, and he began to teach the people who were then gathered just as we are, and he said, "We are the salt of the earth." He says, "But if the salt has lost its savor, wherein shall it be salted? It is hence good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men." 14. He says, "Ye are the light of the world." Ye are the light of the world. Then he says, "You are a city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden." The next verse says, "Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Then it leaves us with a mandate, verse 16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Very, very profound scripture. Now, in 1 Timothy, I'll just introduce my session. Wherever we stop, we'll just pray. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we'll read from verse 1 to 4, but the verse of emphasis is verse 4. The Bible says, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men." Verse 2, he says, "For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and a peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." Verse 3, he says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior." Let's read verse 4 together if you can see it. "Who will have all men to be saved and to come up to the knowledge of the truth." One more time. "Who will have all men?" Apostle Paul is revealing something very profound to us. He is helping us understand, in order of spiritual priority, God's desire for men. First and foremost, he says, God desires that all men be saved. Very profound statement. That means in the mind of God, the moment he beholds anyone he created, the first and the greatest of all desires is that that person be saved. Are we together now? In order of spiritual priority, God's desire for everyone, beyond being healed, beyond being lifted, beyond being blessed as we know it, God desires that all men be saved. And then when that goal is achieved, the next most important goal is that they that have now been saved will come unto the knowledge of the truth. Hallelujah. Because you see, salvation is an experience whose potential is only released in the presence of knowledge. Salvation is an experience whose potential is only released in the presence of knowledge. That means when a believer is saved, genuinely saved by the Spirit, and becomes bankrupt of spiritual understanding, such an individual will function upon the earth as though their salvation experience were a lie. Now, the way God designed salvation is that it happens as a spiritual reality. Please pay attention. Are we together now? That experience happens beyond the realm of feelings, such that sometimes even the person who has now received Jesus and received his life may even be in doubt. There is hardly any charismatism around it. It is a fact based on the integrity of Scripture that whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Are we together? So, all versions of what can appear before him, and by simply believing that message. What is the message? It is not everything about God that saves. I hope we're learning now. There is an exact information about Jesus that translates to salvation. For instance, believing that he came from God does not save you. Demons too, they are not saved. Salvation does not just mean talking about anything that is true about Jesus. No, there is an exact information that equals salvation. There are many people who believe in Jesus, but they are not saved because they have not believed in the body of knowledge that translates to salvation. Are we together? Demons believe in Jesus. Unbelievers believe in Jesus. Believing, for instance, that he's a prophet is true, but it does not save. Believing that he's the captain of our salvation is wonderful, but it does not save. There are very clear information according to scripture that the believer must have, must believe, that translates to salvation. I'm saying this because there are many people in church who are sincere, they love the Lord, but based on the integrity of scripture, they are not saved. There is an exact body of truth about Jesus that translates to a believer's salvation. Are we together? Very, very important. Jesus was many things to many people when he walked upon the earth. To others, he was friend. To others, he was healer. For others, he was an advocate. And yet, for others, he taught that he came to sponsor redemption. And so it matters that in your journey in the Spirit, you encounter Jesus properly and you believe what you need to believe about him that the Bible connects to salvation. Hallelujah. When Peter spoke in Acts chapter 3, we will not go there for time. I'm just trying to introduce the subject that we'll be discussing. Peter began to speak to the 3,000 people who would later be saved on the day of Pentecost, and he said, "This is that." He made reference to Joel's prophecy, and then he began to speak, making reference to what David said prophetically by the Spirit, and he rounded up his teaching by saying, "Let it be known to you, O Israel, that this same Jesus whom you have crucified has today been exalted as Lord and Christ." Hallelujah. When he was speaking, the first mention of the word church, he spoke to Peter. He said, "Who do men say that I, the Son of God, am, or the Son of Man am?" They said, "Some say you are Elijah, some say you are this." And he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, speaking by the Spirit, said, "I know who thou art." He says, "Thou art Christ, the Son of the living God." And he said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but the Spirit of my Father." And he said, "Upon this rock, upon this revelation, upon this understanding of Jesus being Lord, Jesus being Christ, I will build my church." Are we together? So that the believer's foundation must be the understanding of Jesus as Savior, as Lord, and as Christ. So when we come to Jesus, it is important that we have a revelation of him as Savior. It is important we have a revelation of his Lordship. And then the Bible says, in honor to that declaration, we receive the administration of eternal life. But watch this. Eternal life, like I said earlier, and the whole business of receiving eternal life is a spiritual reality. And many times you may not have any physical experience in your life that attests to the fact that such a dramatic transformation has happened. This is why it is received by faith. Are we together? You watch an altar call, and sometimes when you are done, the people are wondering, hoping they were not scammed, wondering if this decision was really true. Because you, perhaps for others, they expect a more charismatic experience, but in many cases that does not happen. And I will tell you, once a believer is saved, he can remain in that state for the rest of his life and never truly reflect the glory of God, never truly reflect the power of God. Are we together? So he says that God desires, number one, for all men to be saved. He says, this is the record that God has given us eternal life, but he structured this eternal life such that we must encounter the Son to have that life. So if you have encountered the Son, Jesus, then the Bible says you have that life. But Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 18, very profound scripture, it says, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God. Watch this now. He's speaking to believers. That because they are bankrupt of understanding, they are alienated from the potential that comes with that life through the blindness of their heart. That means it is possible to have a believer genuinely say, you remember giving your life to Jesus, receiving his life, you remember all your salvation experience, and yet your life does not reflect in any sense the glory of God. The beauty, the power, the wisdom, the multifaceted dimensions of God fail to be represented in your life. The problem is not we are not in doubt as to the authenticity of your salvation experience. But the next step, Paul was crying by the Spirit, said, God desires. Now you understand what I'm teaching. Number one, that all men be saved. But that when you are saved, you do not stop there. It is only the entrance to the journey. Are we together now? John chapter 17 and verse 3, Jesus is teaching and he said, this is life eternal, that they may know thee. Not just to receive an instant experience. This is life eternal. The manifestation of what you call eternal life, that soul life, is that they may know thee, the only true God. So the salvation experience has a dimension of it that is instant. But there is a dimension of it that is progressive. Are we together now? That, and this is a function of your personal presence in the knowledge of God. This is the factor that distinguishes any two believers. So you can have two believers, for instance, saved the same day, being pastored by the same man of God, and the spiritual potentials in those believers can be east and west apart. And sometimes you wonder why, because the Bible says the same Lord is rich unto all. So how do you have two people saved on the same, in the same program, perhaps a program like this, and 3, 4, 5 years down the line, another person evolves to become such a superior version of a believer that when you look at that believer, his life is a rich capture of the multifaceted dimensions of God. You see the wisdom of God, the glory of God, the power of God, I mean, emanating from such a believer, such a delight to behold. When you look at such a believer, you desire God. That believer literally, in experience, would have become a living epistle. That when you look at them, they literally become a continuation of your Bible study. The pages, the book you close in your room, is now open to a life that has become yielded. Are we learning now? And then on the flip side, you will find another fellow saved, perhaps in the same spiritual circle, and you find out that there's such an ill-nourished spirit. You look at that individual and it's a cause for concern. Same Bible, same Holy Ghost, perhaps same access to information, but one is transformed and the other remains. This is the purpose of conferences like this. To create a platform for spiritual upgrade, to challenge you that this is not the best version of you. There is a dimension of the glory of God that needs to be revealed in your life. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 from verse 18, it says, I reckon, the word reckon means to come to terms with the fact that the sufferings of this present time, it says, are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed. Not glory that is deposited, it's already there, but the glory that shall be revealed. Verse 19 says, for the earnest expectation of creation awaited the manifestation. The manifestation. This is what creation is waiting for. The manifestation. A display. I like the way the Bible puts it. It calls us a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people. It says we have been called to show forth the praises of him who has called us from out of darkness into his marvelous light. So the factor that distinguishes any true believer is the depth and the extent of their personal press for light. And you see, there are many compartments of knowledge required for the holistic build-up of the believer. Listen very carefully, please. There are certain bodies of spiritual truth that translates to your maturity and your development. Not every spiritual information translates to transformation. Are we together now? There were two trees in the Garden of Eden. The first ministered life, in as much as we know, whether you look at it literally or you look at it prophetically, we know that one tree, according to the description in Genesis, was responsible for the administration of life. But then the other had, strangely enough, a blend of good and evil. So when you interact with that body of knowledge represented in the tree, something good happens to your life, but with it will come certain consequences. Are we together now? Is someone learning? This is very profound. So the Bible says that God desires that we be saved, and then number two, that we come unto the knowledge of the truth. And I hope you know the truth there is not just an information, yet is a person. Because Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth. Many times when we get saved, we want to start learning things. And we find out that we interact with many dimensions of spiritual reality that will produce casualties eventually. Because the protocol for growth is follow me, not follow it. The foundation for your pursuit of spiritual knowledge is an encounter with a person. And from that encounter, you begin to learn the principles that surround the person. The person is the epicenter of your pursuit. There are people who understand, for instance, and with no sense of bias, they can tell you so much about healing. They can tell you so much even about anointing. They can tell you about all of these things. But healing is not Jesus. Anointing is not Jesus. These are realities that emanate from a person. If you come to my house and study my living room, study my chairs, are we together? Study my kitchen, you can draw it, and then you forget about me, the very owner of the house. You have not done justice to your understanding. So the average believer is not rich in the knowledge of God. However, we may be rich in the knowledge of many things around the kingdom. And so we wonder why, in spite of the vast knowledge we have, we do not command corresponding authority. Because you see, the protocol in the spirit is that for every dimension of light, there is a corresponding authority that light will command. So we know your authority in the spirit by the measure of true light that you have. The Bible says, I wept for no man was worthy to open the book, watch this now, and unlock the seals. And the elder tapped him and said, weep not, for the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, are we together now? Deserving to open the book. And then he says, I looked and I saw a lamb that had been slain, having seven eyes and seven horns. The word seven there does not necessarily mean literally seven. It just talks about perfection or completion. Notice, for every eye, there was a horn connected to it. A horn represents authority. The eyes represent revelation. So every dimension of revelation, there is a corresponding authority that it commands. We are trying to diagnose a situation here where, number one, we have people who are ignorant of spiritual things. And then there are those who walk in supposed abundance of revelation. But we see an anomaly, because in the presence of light, authority should be natural. And yet, if I see you display a supposed abundance of light, and we do not find the corresponding authority connected to that light, we have the right to probe the quality of that light, because the Bible says that was the true light, meaning there are false lights. Are we learning now? That was the true light that lighted every man. My life would change many years ago when the Lord took me in the spirit and showed me a vision that changed my life. And so I'm standing in the spirit and I'm watching this ancient gate, ancient door. And while I'm looking at it, it looks like, you know how post office boxes are? Just tiny, tiny boxes. And that ancient gate had other smaller doors. And upon every small door, there were scriptures that were written. And so they would open and close, open and close. And every time those doors opened, light came from that box. I didn't understand what I was seeing. And the Spirit of God began to explain to me that every dimension of light that is hidden in Scripture has a corresponding grace, a corresponding authority that should be made manifest in the life of whoever truly has it. That means, for instance, if you truly claim that you have encountered the power of God, it has nothing to do with whether you want to walk in power or not. If the light component that controls power steps into your life, the result, the corresponding authority, are we together? Authority is the legitimacy to administer power. It begins to speak immediately. So we find out, and with all due respect, that within the body of Christ, we have two situations to deal with now. Number one is quite a disturbing level of ignorance on one hand, and the cure for that is humility and open-heartedness. Because never, in my opinion, I do not think there is any time in church history where there is such an opportunity for anybody interested in God to grow. The limitations for spiritual growth have literally been crumbled thanks to the power of technology. Anybody with the slightest level of passion about spiritual things can find voices, platforms for their growth. So ignorance, as far as this generation is concerned, is a direct communication of disdain for God and laziness. But then on the other side, we have propositions of a supposed abundance of light, but the authority factor still remains the same. Hallelujah. If I prop the average believer, with all due respect, all of you seated here, if I bring someone now on wheelchair, I bring another person on crutches, I bring another person who is blind, another person who is deaf, can you see that just by describing that you are already uncomfortable? Your hoping is not you, I will call out. But if I raise a song or I preach a sermon about the healing Jesus, we say, yes. Why is the authority component missing? And yet the problem is the average believer would argue, even with scriptures, that I have a revelation of this. So there are claims, I have a revelation of prosperity, for instance. And yet we do not see it manifest. I have a revelation of divine health, for instance. And now sometimes, with all due respect, I know God is maturing this body. People hide and take drugs in secret and come out and say, I'm fine and okay, and all of that. Oh, I have a sound mind. And yet the creativity that attests to the presence of a sound mind is not demonstrated in our lives. I've got a revelation of restoration, but we do not see it happen. My assignment is to challenge you. Can you defend the knowledge you know now with the corresponding authority? This is why we are here. Are we together now? Do you know why Jesus caused the fig tree? Very interesting story. In Mark 11, you find it. Jesus looks at a fig tree and then crosses the tree and says that nothing should come out of you again. And within 24 hours, the tree withered. I've studied that scripture for a long time. How could such a loving God be cruel to such a tree? Do you know why? Because the tree was taken from the earth. And he demanded that something should come out to justify the nourishment it was taking from the earth. And since he failed to deliver, even though Jesus said it was not the time of fix, according to the rendition there, Mark's rendition, but he still caused it. He gave unto one 5 talents and 2 and 1. When he returned and found the one who did not do anything with it, he said, you are a wicked and unprofitable servant. Very harsh expressions. I wonder what God will say to us with the abundance of light that we have, supposedly. We have not been able to demonstrate the reality of the life of God. So much so that the nations are honestly not interested in our sermons again. Because it looks like it's just a church champion. The authority component that makes the world to think we are serious is missing. Read your Bible and see men who justify the life they carried by the authority they commanded. So Joshua would stand and speak to the son. This was not a parable, except if you are not a Christian. And speak to the son to stand still. How about men like Elijah? How about these great men? Women like Deborah? We talk about them. But the Bible says the earth is waiting for those who manifest that authority. There is a yearning in all men. Believers and unbelievers, there is something crying, and every time they see a trace of authenticity, they zoom towards that direction and take that person serious. It doesn't matter whether the person is a Christian or a non-Christian or some world religion. The moment they begin to see a manifestation of authority, it looks like their interest is stimulated. Can I tell you? We stand a risk of losing a whole generation if we do not introduce the authority component to our spiritual proposition. There is literally a demography, a generation that will willfully reject everything Christ. They will say, we are tired of a theoretical Jesus. We are tired of a theoretical Christianity that does not seem to have a solid authority, that dominion component that is missing. Do you know how many people will run to church by the time your auntie with stage 4 cancer confirmed in the presence of everyone is healed medically, not by some man of God somewhere? Do you know why there's trouble even for men of God? Because there are very few people who are even working in the small power that is there. So the burden that is on them, God never designed it to be a few. No, when it has to do with vessels, it's a borrowed, not a few. Please listen carefully. This has been a cry in my heart. There are many sermons in the body of Christ. There are many songs. There are many programs. But there is a cry in the spirit for a generation that will be an authentic representation of what Jesus died for. Not propositions without the power to defend. The Bible shows us that there is a consequence to living such a Christian life. An example where the apostles, when they were being trained, they walked around Jesus, and so they thought naturally they should be anointed. Then they came and met someone who was epileptic, remember? And they struggled around the person. Imagine the embarrassment and the reproach they brought to themselves and to Jesus. They were so pained by that experience. And they came and met Jesus. They said, why couldn't we cast it out? Don't keep quiet over this matter. Because we said, we called your name and all of that. And what happened? Let me show you what happens every time the authority component of the kingdom is revealed in the midst of God's people. In Acts chapter 8, the Bible says from verse 5 that Philip went down to Samaria. This is the apostolic model that was left to the church. He went down to the city of Samaria, the Bible says, and preached Christ unto them. The next verse, verse 6, the Bible says, and the people, watch this, with one accord gave heed to the things that Philip spake. Why did they give heed? Hearing and seeing. One more time. Hearing and seeing. The world has heard. They need to see. Hearing. T.L. Osborne would never have been able to make the impact that he made if all he had was his sermon. The men that we celebrate today, that shook nations, they came with a demonstration of spiritual reality. They commanded authority that justified their knowledge. In fact, for Jesus, he began his ministry by such a spectacular display of power. When he got their attention, he now gathered them and said, let me teach. I write unto you, O excellent Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach. Not just teach. Are we learning now? So that we get to a point where everything we are teaching has a weakness and it is happening. Imagine what happens by the time the church demonstrates the authenticity of the healing power of God, the wisdom of God. Read your Bible. Do you know why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were spared? They were not spared just because they were good preachers. They were spared because they imported a reality that could not be found anywhere else. How do you find three gentlemen who vowed that they would not bow and then stepping into the fire? These were not parables, ladies and gentlemen. The king saw as a witness himself that the fourth looked like the Son of Man. And these gentlemen were walking through the fire. And the Bible says, men who the fire had no power over. Explain that using the laws of chemistry and physics. How do you step into fire? Now you are importing a reality. Let me tell you the truth. We have so forgotten that we need to reveal the power and authority component to the extent that the average believer does not expect anything supernatural about their life. It is foreign, they will fight it. The theoretical Jesus we are advocating to a generation, I'm sorry, will only end up leaving us in pain, because this is a generation that speaks for time. This is a generation that is not will not be loyal for nothing. You will need to import Jesus and reveal him to the world. The Bible says the word became flesh. That means spiritual reality must be imported to our realm, and people will see of the truth that there is such a superior life in Christ. I've had the honor of traveling and ministering to people, and I watch with shock and wonder how people are uninterested in the things of Jesus. And it got me concerned. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, if you really want the global harvest to be a reality, listen, if you don't love Jesus, you will not appreciate what I'm teaching. What I'm teaching is not just for people who are coming to receive. If you really want to grow and you want to be of stature in the Spirit, I'm showing you a pathway that truly leads to authority in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Now, I don't mean to make you sad, but I'm here to challenge you. How many of us prayed before sick people and you watched them deteriorate? There was no sign of improvement coming from your prayer. If your prayer were to be diagnosed using a machine, it would be a failed project, and yet you were praying. And you watch the person deteriorate to a point where the medical people say, sorry, you are being an interruption in this hospital. Can you stay out? Let's treat this person intelligently, because this your formula is not working. Is that a concern for you? And yet go and read the Bible in James chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, if any man afflicted, let him pray. What kind of prayer was he saying that produced such power? Hallelujah. The average person who comes to a preacher to pray over some calamity or tragedy or challenge, do you know why you are praying for the people? Sometimes both the preacher and the person who are praying for, two of them believe nothing will happen. They are just saying amen. The truth is that that person does not expect a performance. It is a level of decline in the Spirit. In Bible days, there were prophets who, if they showed up, it was as if it was God that showed up. An example as well. A very strange man whose word would not fall to the ground. After 3 days of searching for Saul's donkey in futility, the Bible says they counseled themselves and said, listen, there is a seer. Let's not waste our time. Restoration is a possibility in the Spirit, but under a certain condition. Let's not stop wasting our time and misrepresenting God and our destinies. Let's go and look for a man who represents that reality. And the Bible says, as soon as they met Samuel, he said, go up and I will come and tell you what is in your heart. Immediately that donkey started going home. We tell people not to follow herbalists. We tell some of your loved ones who are in the village right now, leave those idols and come to the living God. I hate to be a bearer of bad news, but our sermons will remain a waste until we can demonstrate the reality. Look at this. I'm holding a little gadget here in my hand called a phone. Many of you, if not all of us here, may have never gone to the company where this is produced. But because of the results that come from this, if this your hope against me, you can lose sleep in the night. Because this God is here. That is how much you have incorporated it as the gospel. Am I doing something wrong? The gospel was designed to work. If it is not working, we need to find out the missing link. Do you know what will happen in this campus? We're speaking here at Unilag. Do you know what will happen, ladies and gentlemen, if everyone here gathered, not even those following online, everyone here gathered, especially those who might be students of this campus, if your lives become a demonstration of the reality of the truth that you claim to know? Do you know how many lecturers will come to Jesus? Perhaps let me stimulate your curiosity that out of over 8 billion people on earth, if you're a Christian and you love the Lord, there's just a little over 2.6 professing Christians. And that is a total collection of those who are professing, backsliders, unserious people, and then genuine people. They are all in the mix. 2.6. And we're trusting God that there will be a global harvest. Can I tell you, we have to reconsider the strategy we have used so far. If this is the harvest that came from the strategy we used, and just about 10-15 years, somebody brought an idea called Facebook, brought an idea called Instagram, and the followers of those ideas have far exceeded the followers of Jesus. Those guys have never professed respecting the Holy Spirit. They have never professed whatever it is. They do not even honor God in any way. And yet they came up with an idea that with all the Spirit of God we have, we are helplessly dependent on their ideas. Could it be that there is something, there is a component in God's design of this spirit life that we are missing, that this child can be the key to our existence in the Spirit? Hallelujah. I've had the honor of studying revivals. I've had the honor of studying men and women who were mightily used by God. And my conclusion on studying them was that God should help me to not be a noisemaker, just shouting things God can do. You know, it's very destructive to scare off people's appetites and then leave them hungry and thirsty. Imagine that you keep me near your kitchen and I keep smelling all kinds of things, rice, swallow, and I'm salivating in desperation, and I'm saying, you just be patient, 2 more hours. And I'm getting hungry, almost starved to death. At the end of it, you say, well, I'm inside the kitchen, I can guarantee you this. I'm also confused, but I'm doing something in the kitchen. Philip, as one man, entered Samaria and shut that place down. Not by bragging and making noise. A revelation of the reality of the God life. The Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness, that God can tabernacle in men. I have watched sick people die. I've seen a few heal. I've watched people I prayed for. Some of them did not receive the things they expected. And rather than just shouting over little results, I went to God and I still am in His presence crying and saying, Lord, place something authentic and something genuine. The noise is too much. The kingdom was not supposed to be advanced through such noise. It is the absence of true dominion that is responsible for this noise. And the world is already saying we are tired of this noise. Elijah said, if God be God, serve Him. If Baal be God, serve Him. I can tell you that before Jesus returns, maybe not everybody, but there are a few desperate people, and I know that some of them came for this conference, who know within their spirit that there is more. This cannot be it. An intelligent God will not present this model and expect that the world be taken by it. I'm here to challenge some preacher who is hungry and angry, knowing that there has to be. Why is my prayer not working? The level of energy I designate versus the authority that is registered in the spirit, something is wrong. Words were not supposed to be this cheap. It is lack of knowing God that makes our words cheap. Go and read the Bible. Believers' words are very expensive. When they speak, it does not return to them void. But now we have dissipated words. We have wasted words. The Bible says if they speak not according to this manner, it is because there is no light in them. Are we together? I'm introducing the conference so that up front, we are hungry and tired and not just come with an arrival mentality. I'm coming to receive one or two things. If that is why you are here, you came to a wrong conference. Very wrong conference. The challenge is for someone who would have come here desperate to say, Lord, if I'm the only one left for Christ to be revealed in my family and my generation, I cannot afford to fail. The barrenness that surrounds my Christian experience is a cause for alarm. There is a clarion call in the spirit tonight. It is not for everybody. There is an ear you must have to understand what I'm saying. It is a call of destiny. This generation is looking for more than prayer warriors, more than fasting giants, more than word quarters, demonstrators of the reality of the life and the power of God, demonstrators of spiritual reality. Men who authenticate the service, the worship, and the pursuit of the things of the Spirit. We justify our prayer with results. Justify our knowledge of the word with results. Justify our singing, our preaching with authentic, undeniable results. Hallelujah. Listen. If you have ever desired in your life to see Jesus glorified, let me show you how He's glorified. In John chapter 2, when we read from verse 10 and 11, the Bible says, John chapter 2, give it to us please. When He turned water to wine, verse 11, read with me. This beginning of miracles, the Bible says, did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth His glory. How does God manifest His glory? By importing divine realities and making them visible in the world of men. I receive and manifest Your power and Your wisdom to the nations. See Jesus lifted up, exalted. I receive, I manifest Your power and Your wisdom to the nations. See Jesus lifted up, glorified. Breathe, Lord, breathe, breathe upon my life. Breathe, Lord, breathe, breathe upon my life. Now hear me, ladies and gentlemen. Can I tell you, you can live in such a reality in the spirit, where truly your life becomes a description of something that is not earthly. Your life becomes an epistle. It becomes an inspiration and a motivation, challenging men to press towards God. You don't ask men to press towards God. You provoke men to press towards God. And the way you provoke men is by demonstrating the authenticity that a superior spiritual life carries. This is true for preachers. This is true for men and women.
We cry revival. We talk about revival. We think about the moves of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I bring to you tonight a cry and a body in the heart of the Spirit. We have seen the seven eyes. Where are the seven horns? Because the Bible says for every eye, there should be a horn. We have seen the revelation for healing, but where is the anointing? We have seen the grace for prayer and supplication, but where are the results that prayer was designed to come out? Hear me. Do you know? This is what pushed me to begin to speak for God genuinely with authenticity and truth. I made up my mind, Pastor Akin, that if it depends on me, I will not say things that I will go back and say, I hope I'm right. That Jesus healed, let the sick come to you, and you leave them with all kinds of explanations. And someone comes and says, I hear that you are a representation of this government of heaven. I've read my Bible, the Bible you gave me, the wonder working power. Nations, kings, territories, subdued by this same revelation we claim to have. So on one hand, there are those who are completely uninterested in the things of God for whatever reason. They have not yet come to a point of genuine hunger. They have not seen a need to press beyond the veil. They are uninterested in God's program. God will respect their will. But there are consequences to such ones. And then, for us who have decided, in whatever measure, to be serious with God, there is a call. That bragging about revelation without the corresponding power and authority component will eventually get us frustrated, like it is happening to many people. There are many people, you see, let me tell you, I used to know many believers years ago, Pastor Joaquin, especially campus days. My goodness, the level of zeal you would see in these people, you would think in 1 year they would take the world. Some of those people are not saved today. Some of those people have left God. Do you know why? Because they could not hide their frustrations and they made up their minds they would stop lying to themselves. After gyrating and bragging and shouting and quoting scripture, family failed. Health failed, finances failed, career failed. There was nothing in their life that was a representation of God's glory. Then they kept managing and lying to themselves, don't worry. Eventually they became frustrated and said, you know what, this does not work. If this is what we are selling to the nations, there will be bitter tears. There is an authentic part, ladies and gentlemen, that leads to power, leads to authority. When you say God leads, you show that He leads. When you say God restores, you show that He restores. When you say Jesus as Most High, you demonstrate that invisibility. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, He says we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Do you believe the Bible? Yeah. Which God foreordained that we should walk in. Ephesians 3 and verse 10 says, now unto principalities and powers might be made manifest, made known by the ecclesia, the manifold, multifaceted wisdom of God. And sometimes when we talk about the manifestation of the church, we just limit it to creativity and technological advancement, and that is wonderful. But the church was designed to do something only the church can do. Are we together now? In economics, one of the things that makes a product very valuable is the difficulty in finding a replacement for it. The church is not like the world. There is a special construct of God upon us. But until we demonstrate this, I look forward to the times that I pray it happens in my lifetime, where the nations will flow to the church and say, we have found something that cannot be found in a bank.
We have found something that cannot be found in an investment house. We have found something that cannot be found in a school, in a museum. We have found God living in the midst of his people. Not the one somewhere we cannot explain. God living in the midst of his people. Hallelujah. Every time I read my Bible, I'm challenged. Not for others, for myself. This sermon, as I'm preaching to myself. You see, the days of trying to do just glory and do preacher are gone. God is in a serious business of looking for serious people. This is not about a man of God preaching to people. This is about God speaking to a man, challenging all his people. The standard is too low. No, the standard is too low. Can I tell you, many of us in the early church will not even qualify to be ushers by the standard of power and spirituality. Go and find out the requirement to be part of the welfare department. That is what is required today, probably to be a CEO. To serve tables, you must be full of the Holy Ghost and full of wisdom. Not half the Holy Ghost, be full of the Holy Ghost. To serve tables. Do you know that men like Stephen and Philip, I hope you know that the laying on of hands for them was not to ordain them to be evangelists and all of that. It was to serve tables, but their hunger was too much. They got more than what was required to serve tables until they evolved to become mighty men in the spirit, Philip being one of them. The average believer hardly has a spiritual reference as far as growth and becoming is concerned. Now, I'm not downplaying how far we have gotten in the church. God has helped us. I'm not downplaying. Everybody is thriving. And kudos to men and women of God across the world. Everybody making this contribution. But I'm telling you, there is still more. There is still more. I hear this all the time in the spirit. There is still more. And for someone here, God brought you to this conference not just to hear a man. God brought you as a sign that you are part of the army that will make that more happen. God took you from your room, your home, and for those who have fallen online, there are certain meetings you don't stumble into. You are invited by the Spirit. It's a call by the Spirit. Hallelujah. There is a gift I'm praying tonight that God will release upon us before we wrap up. It's called the gift of hunger. You see, hunger is proof of health. The moment people fall sick, one of the ways you know that someone has fallen sick is that they lose appetite immediately. So everywhere there is hunger is an attestation to the fact that that individual is healthy. Many of us have lost our hunger. Hunger for his presence. Hunger for prayer. We replace it by a mundane pursuit, passion for things. Things are not wrong, but in order of spiritual priority, they are more superior pursuits that command the other things we are seeking. And to introduce this conference, Paul is speaking and saying that God desires, number one, that all men be saved, and then number two, that they come into or unto the knowledge of the truth being Jesus himself. The Bible says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you, not through any kind of knowledge, through the knowledge of him. The knowledge of it does not impart grace. It is the knowledge of him. Your knowledge must be directed towards a deeper pursuit of a person to access grace. We have been chasing things, so we do not find any grace component. Hallelujah. But let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I came sharing my heart and sharing a burden in the spirit. There is a cry from nation to nation. The Spirit of God is hovering like he did in Genesis chapter 1, looking for people who will be available. Hovering like he did in Ezekiel 37, waiting for any bones that are willing and available to be restructured back to become an exceeding great army. The true character of revival, is not just repentance and consecration and conformity, but an emergence. Revival does not stop until an army becomes. You see that now. Repentance and consecration are the initial stages, but it should evolve until an army becomes an experience. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. If you truly love God and you want to see His purposes revealed in this generation, then we must take some time to cry tonight and say, Lord, thank you for where you have brought me, but I'm tired of this devil. There is no shame, there is no pretending. There are higher heights in the spirit. Job said there is a path which the lions have not gotten there, the vulture has not gotten, the whelp of the lion has not gotten there. These are virgin dimensions in the spirit that many have not touched. And there is a cry in the spirit for men and women to rise and to evolve, men and women to become, by beholding Him, by losing passion for any other thing that is not Him. If God succeeds in planting that hunger in us tonight, then it was a good business with God tonight. Listen to me. Please hear me. My hunger for God got to a point where I knew if I didn't find Him, He would cost me my life. There was nothing else that was of any value for me. I did not seek God to become a preacher. My passion to know Him and to see Him was not to become a man of God. It was not for fame, not for any of these things. It was a cry in my spirit that if by any means we are able to introduce something in our lifetime more authentic, more convincing to our world about God. The concept of God has become something so difficult to understand because they are hardly demonstrators and validators of the faith. There is one special name that we are given as believers. We are called witnesses. A witness is a validator of a claim. In the court of law, you do not need a witness until there is contention over the truthfulness of a matter. Am I right on that? So every time there is a contention, the judge would demand, do you have a witness? Then the witness is presented. And the witness is only as powerful as the evidence that he has. And evidence is a token of truth, of truthfulness. That is what gives credence to the witness. So when we shout around and say we are witnesses, it is not a lie, but creation has been saying, where is the evidence? Where is the evidence that you have met God? Where is the evidence that your prayer touched heaven? Where is the evidence that your worship is culminating to power in the spirit and in the earth? Hallelujah. And I remember crying before the Lord, days turning to months. And one night, I'm sharing this to inspire you and to pray. Can I tell you, when your hunger truly touches the heaven, you will receive a visitation. I can tell you. For most people, our desperation has not gone beyond things. Our desperation has not gone beyond ministry, beyond wanting a name, beyond making it. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying these things are wrong. They are part of the packages of the kingdom. But in order of spiritual priority, it is when you encounter Him that it becomes valuable. Jesus appears to me. He walks into my room, not through a door, not through the wall. How He got there, I cannot explain. And the King of Kings, the one I read about in the Bible, except that it's not the Galilean that walked to my room. This one is the glorified Christ. In His majesty and glory, can I tell you, I submit to you with all humility. When I saw Jesus, I knew that many people do not know Him. They are talking about a total stranger. And here I am like a dead man. I have no power to move myself, in fact. And He's looking at me, and He's not talking to me. or not speaking to me, but we are communicating. That is when I learned in the realm of the Spirit that you do not have to tie and stand still. Every time I talk about this, I just tend to see a cloud. I want you to listen and be very sensitive. Something is happening here now. So Jesus shows up, and incantations are happening to me that I do not understand. My mind was unfruitful, but I knew my spirit was missing. You see? And then he stretched his right hand in his heavens of the Lord. And light that cannot be explained. When that light entered me, some of you may have heard me say, how I did not die is a mystery that I will ask you. No human being will receive that quantum of light and still be alive. That's it. And as that light emanated my being from head to toe, imagine plugging a man, Pastor Akin, in a high tension of wire, only that it does not shock you to death. This was my experience meeting His Majesty. I have an idea of what happened to Isaiah in chapter 6 and verse 1. He says, in the year that King Uzziah died, something must die for you to see the Lord. In the year that my pride died, in the year that lust died, in the year that flesh died, I, Isaiah, saw the Lord. Listen, do you know, after that encounter, I opened my Bible, and there was a straight line from Genesis to Revelation. What is this? Until then, I was a student of Scripture. But what is this mystery? What is going on here? Something is happening to me that I was not born with. Something has come upon me that school did not do. This is beyond counseling. I have received something that is not found in the Bible. An importation of spiritual reality. Hallelujah. Can I tell you, that experience changed my life. And then in one of these encounters, I'm seeing these things stand before me. And then the Lord speaks to me and says, my son, from today, I give you my presence as a gift. And then I see these things stand before me. And He says, He will walk with you. And I said, what is His name? And the only thing I heard was, it's the angel of the Lord's presence. But hear me. The Lord gave me a mandate. And He said, to every nation and to every region that I send you, there will always be someone in that region that the light that came from me to you, that light was not supposed to stop with you. That light finds men. It's a recruiting, it's a system of recruiting in the spirit. When that light finds you, you cannot rest again. It's impossible. It will burn like fire within your spirit until you become dissatisfied with status quo. It will burn like fire in your spirit. It will burn away every passion that is not God. It will burn away every desire that is inconsistent until Christ is revealed, until Christ is glorified. This is the fire that God has brought to this meeting. This is the light that He has brought to this meeting. This is the secret of what we do. in sensitive dominion that your hunger drives you to his presence. And when you are there, you allow that intercourse to happen in the spirit. And in exchange, you receive something that cannot be found on earth. There are two groups of people here as I prepare to wrap up that God has comfort tonight. Number one, for men and women who by an act of their will, either in ignorance or just laxity in the spirit, they have been uninterested in the things of God, completely uninterested, either through poor mentorship, I'm speaking apostolically to people generally, or by an interest or a disinterest on their own part. But then number two, God has come tonight for the second group of people who love him but are frustrated because of their current level. Lord, I desire to have capacity that makes prayer work, that makes my study of scripture work, genuine authority in the spirit, that through my life you can find glory, that through my life you can be lifted, that my life becomes an effulgence of your power, your wisdom, and your glory, undeniable. Take a minute to pray in the spirit. Take a minute to pray in the spirit. Let your power, Holy Ghost power, rest on me, rest on me. Let your power, Holy Ghost power, rest on me, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Holy Ghost power, rest on me. Let your power for signs and wonders. Rest on me, rest on me. Let your power, signs and wonders. Rest on me, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Oh, rest on me. Holy Ghost power, rest on me. The Bible says, see then that we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin that easily beset us, and to run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. The Bible calls him the author, calls him the finisher of our faith. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Take a minute to pray the
of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 13 says, and ye shall seek me, ye shall seek me and only find me when you search for me, not with part of you, with all your heart. You have heard me say the price for all of God is all of you, not part of you. The price for all of God is all of you. If all of you cannot see Him, loving Him even more than your necessary to, there are dimensions in the spirit you cannot attain. I want to pray for you. I want to ask the Lord to impart upon you the gift of hunger. For many of you, this will drive you to the secret place. You will hunger after spiritual things in a way you have never desired. You see, this is the correct platform upon which prayer, words, study, and all the spiritual activities should rest on. If it does not rest on hunger, it will not last. Father, in the name of Jesus, I stretch my hands over the men and the women who have come gathered here tonight. In the name of above all things, over Eden Center, let there be an impartation of this gift of hunger. In the name of Jesus, upon your spirit. Hunger that wakes you in the night. Hunger that will separate you from the crowd. Hunger that will draw you into experiences only God can experience. Hunger that drives you to pray. Prayer without prayer voice. Hunger that drives you to speak it, that you will not stop till you find it. Hunger beyond the desire to be a man of God. Hunger beyond the desire to be a celebrity. Hunger beyond the desire for fame. Hunger beyond the desire to be known. Hunger beyond the desire to build an empire. Hunger that wants something for Jesus revealed. Hunger that wants something for Jesus glorified. May that hunger rest upon you. 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 In the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now please listen. Listen. Hopefully tomorrow if God grants grace, one of the things that I'm going to be showing you is how to build upon hunger. How true light comes. Hunger is like the tray that carries the many things that you see. It is hunger that carries prayer. It is hunger that carries your passion for the world. It is hunger that carries your desire for the house of God. When hunger carries everything. Thank you. Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Apologies for the glitch. Just two things very quickly, and we'll wrap up. I think it was a time well deserved.